Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Speaking on that corporate anointing. When we join together, when we are in the congregation. Now, there's a reason as to why we congregate. It's not a religious motive. It's a correct motive. It's to praise God together, to listen to the word together, and there's blessing there. And I'm going to continue, but in reality, what I'm going to be speaking on today is persist in prayer. Persist in prayer. But something that I didn't mention, oh man, Tuesday was very good. I'm just adding that in. A few details that we spoke, they were very good, in my opinion, which is the correct one. Religion gets mad when I say that. One told me here in Douglas, so you assume that you're right. I said, no, I don't assume it. I affirm it. Well, because it's here with the Bible. Psalms 33. Behold how good and how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, Psalms 133. Now help me with the New Living Translation. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. Harmony has to do with unity. Unity is important for the Lord. Verse 2. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron. Oil is a representation of what? Of the Holy Spirit. And there's something very important here in uniting ourselves in a congregation. Nowadays, in many places, due to technology and this and the other, people would rather stay at home, watch the services through the internet. And I believe many pastors are responsible of that. All that became very popular during COVID. But there are some pastors who feel obligated to do so. I'm not going to judge anyone on that. I'd rather be directed, me personally, by the Holy Spirit. Almost everything on our website is from material in the past. Perhaps we'll pass something live, but very few times now are we passing everything fully live. It is like precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Verse 3, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Where in its context here, it's talking about when we are united, when we are congregated. Now go to Matthew here. This is how we started speaking. Speaking on the prayer of agreement, but I'll be speaking on that farther on ahead. So in Matthew 18, verse 19, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them. That if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, this doesn't indicate that if you're by yourself, sitting down studying, God isn't with you. But in its context here, this is talking about when we are congregated, for when there are two or three gathered together in my name. We were studying on Sunday as well as renewing our mind with the word of God, renewing our way of thinking. How about if we also think on this? This is also very important to God. There's something important here. Let's not just do it lightly. It's all just the church and this and the other. Now, I believe what I'm going to say, many of you already know it. Or you've heard of it. But after COVID, around the whole world, solidarity has increased. People have something where they've molded to just being with their head down on a phone or on an iPad. There's no more communion. Actually, the texts, I hate having a long conversation through text message. Texts are convenient in certain ways, but having a full conversation through a text message, something isn't right there. That form of communication has been lost. Again, texts are convenient sometimes in very light conversations or short conversations to perhaps ask a question or something. But it's best to talk through the phone, in my opinion. I don't know. I don't send text messages to the Lord. I talk with Him. Nowadays, there are people who can spend all day, a whole week, and their 3 days just logged in by themselves in front of a smart TV or a phone. Do you think that's normal? In other words, it's when technology uses you instead of you using technology. Amen. So there's something special in having communion, but also be careful to whom you join up with. But that's another subject. Now go back to Psalms 133. Notice now here for God, there's something important in communion or in harmony and being together. Now here's an example on the contrary. In Genesis, I believe it's... You're hot? Really? Me too. Genesis 11. Genesis 11. Yeah, it's because the light hits you there as well. You look like a chick being in an incubator. Have you seen those incubators before? Yeah, okay. Some know what I'm talking about, others don't. Some of you are very modernized now. Genesis 11, verse 6. Do you all know the story? The story of the Tower of Babel? Do not read the whole story here. Well, actually, yeah. To see its context. Verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. In verse 1, there's something important here to see. Notice how there's something powerful in unity. Here, this example is for something evil, but there's something powerful in unity. Notice, now the whole earth had one tongue and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain on the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad of the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men has built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them." You see that word there? That they propose. The word hagar, the word to meditate. It's the same word there. They've meditated. They've thought of it. Now, what's the point here? This is just to read the Bible as if it were a folk story. In its context here, we have to see it. There's power in unity. There's power in being united. There's power. So look at it in its positive side. Here we're seeing in the negative. You can also unite or have people who reunite for something perverse. There's power also in unity in the perverse side. See, how does the world operate with everything that's going on in the world? There are certain groups out there, elective groups. They're groups. They're lots of groups with one vision. Imagine that if a church, everyone had the same vision. that in one church, everyone in a church, everyone should have it. Okay, how do I explain this? Every church is different. Every church has a different calling, which is why it's important that a believer pray and see which church they're going to be in, because each church is different. Each church supposedly God gave a different calling to and a different assignment. And there is where priority will be. But if in a church, now that they have one vision, everyone come into that vision, then there's something there. There's something good there. Good things can be accomplished. Verse 7. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. My point is this, again. What happened when there was confusion? What happened? There was no longer unity, exactly. So you can see how powerful unity is for God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now let's continue. In persisting in prayer. Now let me tell you something. Because when you pray, you truly pray. What do I refer with truly praying? When you pray, one of the things that you'll seek is to receive wisdom. What is wisdom? Can any of you tell me what wisdom is? Huh? I've already mentioned it. What is wisdom? Well, yeah. The principle of wisdom is to fear God, yeah. But in an easy way. Brother, what would be wisdom? Brother, the one reading the Bible, what is wisdom? Direction from the Spirit. What was that? Unnecessarily. What was that? Thank you. That's the definition of wisdom. The difference is between knowledge and wisdom is this, is that wisdom is how to do with that knowledge. That's the difference between wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You can know things, you can know the Bible by memory, but not understand how to apply now. How do I apply the Holy Spirit? Oh yeah, do you believe in the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters? Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, suppose they ask you. And you can go and show them there in the Gospels and the Holy Spirit and this and that. Yeah. But now how to apply it? Do you believe in biblical prosperity? You can give lots of verses. But not know how to apply it. That, when you pray in other tongues, is when you start flowing in that wisdom. That wisdom that is inside of you will come here to your understanding, and which is why it's so important to persist in prayer. Between these different sessions that we've been having, I told you that there are three types of prayers that a believer, that you and I, will use the most. Almost all. Remember, we saw that there are different types of prayers. What are those different types of prayers that I told you we would be using? The prayer of what? Of acts of thanksgiving? What else? Confession of the word? What else? Prayer in the Spirit. And there are many benefits we saw. Let's see who remembers of many benefits that we saw in praying in the Spirit. We edify ourselves. We give good thanks to the Lord. What else? You see, this is to study the Word. That's what we come to church for, to study the Word. Not just to complete a religious cult. This is discipleship. This is to learn the truth of the Word, how to apply the Word of God. Amen. What are other benefits that we saw? Remember, we saw in the Bible that we also edify, we give good thanks. What else? What does to edify mean? I mentioned it. No? What was that? To, Edify means to literally, to build up a house, to construct, to build something up. Another way of saying it, spiritually speaking, you are literally promoting a spiritual growth. You promote spiritual growth when you pray in other tongues. In other words, there will be greater understanding. Another example, come give you the word, I explain things, and you'll understand it. You'll understand it for you, because each situation, each person has different, I don't want to say problems, but each life is different. Each person is believing for something different, which is why it's so important to learn to hear. To learn to hear. Before then, I would hear things that people would say, and honestly, I wouldn't capture it up until one time, one of those times we were up in Phoenix years ago, many years ago. Nui and I had recently come here to Douglas. Nui, do you remember Pastor Dr. Alfred Craig? We were in Alfred Craig's church over there in Phoenix. And Fred Price was there, and he said, he was speaking the importance of learning to hear the Spirit of God. But he said something, and he said it many times after. If you cannot listen to the person in front of you, how can you say that you listen? One more time. If you cannot listen to the person that's in front of you, you cannot listen, you can't even not hear because you're deaf or because you don't understand. Simply, you're ignoring that person. You're not paying attention. How can you say you listen to the voice of God whom you do not see? And we were there in that church, and he did an exercise there, a spiritual exercise, I'm trying to say here. He said this, something as to what I said last time. He said, I'm going to quote a verse. How many of you are listening to what I just said? We all raised our hand. Are you all listening? Okay. All of you. And you turn to look at pastor, because it was the church of that pastor. Fred Price was invited. Are you watching? He mentioned his name. Can you stand on your feet? He got on his feet, turned around, looked at the whole congregation. All the congregation. I'm going to ask the question again. Remember, Nubia? How many of you are hearing me this moment? All of you. Because perhaps some of you have some issue. Can you cannot hear of your ears? Perhaps some sort of deafness? I believe all of you here are healed of that, correct? Yes, amen. Okay. And then he said this. Now, with that being said, you saw it, Pastor, correct? Yes, Pastor agreed. Yes, sir. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. Now, I'm going to make an exercise here. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to quote a verse. Whatever. But you, listen, do not go to the Bible. And you know what? He quoted the verse. And you could hear, I was sitting down, and you could hear, and he saw people looking for it. And he said, that's what I'm referring to. They don't know how to listen. They don't know how to pay attention to the person in front of you. And those types of people say that they hear from God. And in their lives, in their lifestyle, you can see why they have what they have and why they have lack. Because they don't know how to hear. What am I referring to with this? If you cannot hear the Holy Spirit of God, you cannot hear direction from God. And people get frustrated with faith because they say, oh, I walk by faith, I'm by faith. Look, brothers and sisters, promises of faith and confessions of faith, this is knowledge here, I have some. And you should confess the Word of God. There are benefits in confessing the Word. One of them, I told you in this last series, you recognize what the Lord Jesus already did for you. You're recognizing who you are in Christ. Another benefit is you release power and anointing when you confess the word of God. But for example, if the Bible says, wealth and riches are in your house, and you confess this and you say it. But how many of you know that wealth and riches can come from many different ways? I'm speaking in the legal, correct aspect. God can indicate you to do a certain business, as He could indicate you to do another set of business. He could indicate you to get out of debt first. He could teach you secrets, financial secrets of administration and investment. He could direct you. There are people who are direct to do certain businesses in agriculture. Others businesses in enterprises, companies. Others in cattle. Others give them ideas, and they invent something. Some type of food, a recipe, a shampoo. Example with my wife here. Amen. You see, that is wisdom. Do you understand? But I want to encourage you to persist now in prayer and not to be discouraged if in the moment you're not seeing something. Not because you don't see something. But if you don't see results, it's not because God is your issue. Or if you think that you're praying incorrectly, again, seek direction from the Lord. Seek that direction. Pray in other tongues and pray a lot. Another verse, and we saw it last time, but we'll see it again. In Isaiah 58, Isaiah 28, the prophet Isaiah here speaking. Never let go of that advantage. I hope all of you here praying in other tongues. If any of you say, Brother Hughes, I don't pray in other tongues. At the end of the service, come with me, I'll pray for you. And you'll receive baptism of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 28. Verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Isaiah here was prophesying of this time to come. The Spirit of God was prophesying on speaking in tongues, to whom he said, this is the rest, with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. 13. But the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. Speaking here, that rest that you will fall in, that will come to your life. And you'll fall before the Lord. You'll be broken in your own ideas. Your ideas will change your way of thinking. Hallelujah. Notice in 13, verse 13. But the word of God, the Lord, was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. There will be understanding of the word. You see it? And there will be rest. Another benefit of speaking in tongues is that we rest. We refresh ourselves. You feel overwhelmed by your problems, situations. You don't know what to do. Instead of just crying, and I'm not criticizing you here, but instead of crying and feeling that no one understands you, you feel by yourself, pray in other tongues. Amen. Pray in the Spirit. Give thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Luke 18 is something that religion here. Unfortunately, has always confused these verses. 18. Luke 18, verse 1. Then he spoke to her parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Notice how verse 1 started saying here. Men always sought to pray and not lose heart. Verse 1, New Living Translation. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. What did Paul say in the book of Thessalonians? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Verse 2, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, or respect man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. I'll leave it there. I'm going to ask a question. How many of you, were you preached or taught that this was talking about how pray and pray and pray up until God is tired? And up until, thank you. Yeah, over there. Thank you. Is that yes? Yes, you too. Okay, well, it's easier for you to raise your hand. This, you look like those. Do you remember the bobbleheads they would put that back then on the dashboards of your car? Who else? Me too. Another brother over there. Who else? Pray up until you annoy God, and God says, there, that's enough. I can't handle you. There, here's what you want. No, it's not referring to that. The verse 1 tells you, that's the revelation. What this is teaching is persistence in prayer. Doesn't mean bother God. Bother him up until he's tired and he gives you what you want. Notice again. And they compare it to this. Aren't you seeing it? Verse 2 again. There was a certain man, city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard man. But God isn't this way. Now verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Now question here, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. What the Lord was saying here is, if this judge made injustice to this widow because she was constantly bothering him, how much more you who are a child of God, and God loves you and God is with you. The focus here was on what? Persistence, perseverance in prayer.
The word of God says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
We are grateful for your continued prayers and financial support, which are important for spreading God's word around the world. Giving to our ministry is both simple and secure. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and find the giving section where you will find a variety of giving options. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the Give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. We want to reassure you that any amount you decide to give is a blessing and appreciated in our ongoing mission. Thank you for your support and for partnering with us. Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Say something, do something. Glory to God. Like I told my children today, tomorrow your mom on your schedule there put I'm going to be with the youth tomorrow. Anthony Summer said, oh. The only one that said yay was Kayla. Like, oh. How you are. I was expecting more of a amen, or I understood it. Luke 11. Oh, and Daida. And I told when Daida, like, she's just, oh, I know, Dad. Mom already told me. I was like, okay. Well, good thing I'm not carnal, because I almost said, oh, well, it's best if I don't go. I didn't see much enthusiasm. Luke 11. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased. Our foundational verse, remember? Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation. This was King James here, because God doesn't do this. Verse 4. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But here, it's we forgive those who offend us, because God already forgave us in Christ. The Lord here, remember, the Lord was still under the law of Moses during this time. Verse 5. And he said to them, pay attention, this is a parenthesis. Just because they're under the law of Moses doesn't mean we're not going to read the Gospels. Amen? I never said that. Because there are some modernists who go way, way to the other side and say that. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And I don't have anything to feed him with. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Some of you have friends like that? Yeah? Who said yes? Then you're not your friends. They're not your friends. If you say that those are your friends. Verse 8. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Is that word there? Do you use it a lot? No. I mean, with the New Living Translation. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sakes, if you keep knocking long enough, he will give up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. It's not very convincing either. It gives the idea of bothering God. New King James, sorry, version in English. There you go. The English version is a bit better. Yeah, because of his persistence. No, I don't speak English, Brother Hughes. Well, it's right there. What are we speaking on? Persistence in prayer. Persist in praying in other tongues. Persist in confessing the word. Persist in seeking wisdom. This is what this is referring to. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. What do you ask here? You ask what is yours in Christ. But notice how you will not always. Also, the word here to ask means ask, demand something, but also there will be times of what? The other part here, ask and you shall be given. Seek, that comes in what we were speaking on, seeking direction of the Lord. Seek the direction, praying in other tongues. Seek the wisdom of God, praying in other tongues. Doesn't matter if your family tells you that you're crazy, tell them you're the crazy one. Amen. Doesn't matter if your family says that you're weird, tell them you're the weird one. Amen. Amen. Don't you understand? That's what you are in Christ. You have to stop seeing yourself as any other person. I know what I'm going to tell you. We're all the same. Yeah, I know all that nonsense. I'll explain it later. But you're different. You're peculiar. Don't listen to the world. There are Christians who pay more attention to the world, doesn't even know what bathroom to go into. Amen. And the man doesn't know if he's a man or woman, if he's a horse or he's a dog. The other woman doesn't know if she's a cat, a crocodile, or a caiman. There are people like that. And you're going to pay attention to those types of people? Please. But Brother Hughes, then I start saying these things and many parts of my family don't talk to me. They don't come to my house anymore. What's better? You have more coffee, hallelujah. You have more food, glory to God. I'm not promoting you to just abandon your family and stop talking to them. No, but what I'm saying, if they leave you alone, they don't talk to you, don't be discouraged. Greater is he who lives in you. The Bible says, greater is he who lives in you than he who is in the world. Glory to God. That you should maintain yourself in. Persist. Persist in prayer. Glory to God. Persist praying in other tongues. Persist. Put time in the Lord. In the mornings when you wake up, how about at night as well before going to sleep? I don't know, at least half an hour before. What I'm going to tell you here, I don't want to get between you, your personal life, your private life, telling you what to do or not to do. But I'll give you some advice. I don't know if you've noticed. You can be on your phone looking at what this other person was eating on Facebook, or where they went, or how much tacos they ate, how many plates of menudo, and then you're wondering, like, no wonder you are the way you are. And I don't know if you've noticed, you can spend an entire hour. Being honest, you can spend an entire hour there. Well, what if then you start disciplining your body, your mind, your body to spend time with the Lord? you'll see better results. And again, I'll say this by faith. I haven't said in these last few sessions. And I was just quoting in the other one. This church, glory to God, this church and all faith partners of Word of Faith Ministries every day pray. Amen. I'm speaking by faith here. Every day pray. Every day they read at least 2 chapters of their Bible at home. Hallelujah. Good thing I walk by faith. One more time. This church every day prays, hallelujah, and receive direction from the Lord every day. Every day. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Start praying. And one of the things, as you're maturing, you'll see something. There's a difference between a mature and an immature Christian. The mature Christian normally spends more time praying for the rest than for himself. You should pray for yourself. But you'll find yourself praying a lot in the spirit. Praying for governments. Praying for... I didn't like to pray a lot for the last administration here in the United States. But the Bible doesn't tell me if you agree or not. Or if it's of your political party or not. Does it say that? No. It says then that we should pray. So it is convenient for us. The result is for us. And also you have to have compassion. Because God loves every human being. And God wants everyone to be saved. And that we all come to the understanding of the truth. When people are lost, it's because they rejected God their whole life. But God is greater in mercy. Amen. Amen. I know sometimes we think, oh man, when you die, you're going to go to hell. But you see, God doesn't think that way. Some of you, you see, you laugh. Why do you laugh? I don't know. Who did you think of that? What I'm referring to here is, God is patient. God is merciful. I think I mentioned it last time, was it? I mentioned it these last times. Where on one side, God is merciful. Mercy is great. When you see someone where their life is a disaster, perhaps they passed away in an accident. It's disaster after disaster. Haven't you noticed, or you could say, oh, didn't Pastor Hughes say to be merciful? Remember, we operate in spiritual laws. I even mentioned Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be made fun of. Galatians 6:7, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Not that God is the evil one. The problem is God is merciful and always trying to deal with people, and especially if we are praying for someone else, for family, people in general, brothers in Christ, governments, earthly governments, etc. Sometimes things don't work out. It's not that prayer doesn't work or that God isn't doing something. What happens is there's also lots of opposition. The devil is using the world. Did you see the hate that there is? During my life, I've seen many politicians, but I'm not hating on people, speaking some terrible curse words. Even Christians saying terrible words of a president that they don't like doesn't go with us. We can go against their ideas, what they believe, and prove it with the word of God, but don't have hatred in your heart. Hatred is like wanting to give a cup of poison to someone and that they drink it, but in reality, it's going to hurt you, not the other person. Hatred and anger, the only reason. Oh man, do I keep going? The only reason people have have all that in their heart is because you love yourself too much. There's too much pride in you. You think that you're the last Coca-Cola in the desert. That you deserve everything. That you deserve that whoever, your children, your parents, that the people love you and respect you. Remove that mentality and you'll live happily. Remove that mentality that you deserve this, that, and the other. We don't deserve anything, glory to God. If it weren't for the Lord Jesus, you and I, all we would deserve is go to hell and suffer for an eternity. If we're alive for up to this moment, it's by the grace of God. But brothers, Pastor Hughes, this person humiliated me in public, and that end? Never said that it was wrong. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Have you done everything perfect? Have God appeared here? What would he tell you? God appears here and says, oh, I have a list here. And starts reading, has one after a line, after page, after page, after page. You know what you're going to say? Okay, stop, Lord. Amen. You know what you're going to say? Mercy, Lord. The same way is what you should extend to others. Again, you don't have to have friends with the other people. Don't hold anything against anyone. Stay with this. God loves you. Period. If no one loved you in this stinky earth, God loves me. Glory to God. And if you're up to if you reach this point, it's because of the mercy of God. So be joyful. And if you want love from other people, then sow love. I know what some have told me. Yeah, but I've sown love in other people, and good, and they've paid me with evil. Well, forget about it. Forget about it. Why did you do it? You did it because it was truly the love of God working in you? Or did you want to bless someone to expect something from someone else? Look, when you give something to someone else, don't expect to receive anything from them. Expect to receive from God. God is the author of sowing and reaping. For that reason, you should also hear from God to whom you're going to help. If it is that giving money or blessing financially, you should hear from God. And if those people treat you wrongfully, that's it. You just did what God told you to do, and that's it. So whom does the recompense come from? The Lord. All of that, you'll learn it, and you'll capture more if you spend time in prayer. Which is why I tell you, persist. Persist. Hallelujah. Sometimes certain people, for one reason or another, financially, there's nothing good. Just examine as to why. And believe me, even praying, the Lord will tell you. You go and say, Lord, I haven't been a good administrator of my finances. That's between God and you. Say, thank you, Father. And you persist and you sow in the kingdom of God. Now when you sow, you believe the Lord. And everything that you proclaim, the Lord and I are believing the Lord for great things. We're sowing financially. But don't believe we're just giving because, oh, we're the pastors. And? Every time we sow, we fall in agreement. And my children. Sowing. And we receive a great abundant harvest. Now go to Philippians 4. Now let go of all of that. It'll eat you up. Persist in prayer. Philippians 4, we're going to read from verse 10 to 19. I've heard Christians mention these verses. Have you heard when people claim unto verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's good for you to confess it, but hold on. You got to say this. If some of you do not believe in giving, you're not a giver, this won't work for you. Something that the gospel has that in the gospel, you cannot cheat. I'll give you an example. Suppose I tell you that in this moment I'm praying, and the Spirit of God talks to me, and I tell you, brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God is telling me that all those who have pain come here to the front. I'll pray for you. If you do that in an act of faith, you'll receive your healing. For example, then some of you say, I'm not going to pass up there, but I'm going to stay here, and once Brother Hughes is praying, I'll receive my healing here. That won't work. You know why? Because we're speaking here of specific instructions. You cannot cheat in the gospel. So there are Christians who want to cheat with this verse, but let's see its context. Verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Remember how the Lord Jesus here said, when you read, understand. Do you understand why Paul was speaking this here? First of all, Paul was writing this to who? It's a letter to the brothers in Philippi, to Philippians. But when Paul wrote this, Paul was in jail or in prison. And many times, when we read the life of the Apostle Paul, we'll see many times, the grand majority of his life, he was in prison, not because he was a felon or something, but the government persecuted him for preaching the gospel. So Paul wrote this, saying, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that at your last care for me have flourished again, though you surely did care, but lacked opportunity. Because since Paul was in jail, there was no technology as there is now. There wasn't like, oh yeah, one of his disciples said, Paul sent me a WhatsApp. He sent me a message on Messenger and he's in so-and-so jail. Or he called me from a certain jail in the administration that he was there. You see, there was none of that. So the people, they didn't know, sometimes for months, perhaps even years, where's Apostle Paul? Up until they received a letter. And they received this letter. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Notice how the brothers in Christ here, they wanted to. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Well, here in jail, there wasn't much abundance. What Paul was saying is God, always through the people, took care of him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. This must have been very terrible. Paul sowed the word sometime. He worked, the Bible says, that he worked in, instead of saying stores, worked in tents of campaigning. But after that, after the ministry started growing, he had to travel, establish churches, stay there, teach to the pastors. Well, the Bible, I don't have time to explain it there, but in Corinthians, Paul also mentioned, he who preaches the gospel to live of the gospel. Well, here, we would spend all night explaining this great part of the night. Because we see sometimes how certain pastors we live secular, though we have our business in the secular. Because we see some who are in the ministry who believe that also God didn't call us only to the ministry, but also to do business. But this doesn't apply to everyone. Well, the Apostle Paul here, they reached a moment where the Bible says that the laborer is worthy of his salary. There's so many things to mention on this, infinity of things. Sure, that there are churches, many pastors who, not all, did you listen? Not all, but many very lazy pastors. They're not going to grab a shovel or work. They have 10, 15 people and they want to live off of them, that you can't. I mean, simply, that's just not, that's impossible. We see others where we can have a salary, glory to God, but also we do business outside, we have major income, and we sow in the kingdom. You understand? I can't say all pastors should do that or will do that. It's good advice, but I know, well, as you know, Fred Price, back then, I don't know, 50,000, 70,000, he had a good salary. Over in Los Angeles, it's difficult to have cattle. There's lots of concrete, okay? There's lots of houses, you can't have cattle there. I know other pastors, friends of mine, this is mine coming to my mind, a friend, pastor friend of mine, up in Carolinas, who has a 3,000, 5,000 population of a church, and they're city slickers, so they're not going to be grabbing a shovel or something like that, but they have a good salary. Others who do it a bit differently. But however, it's an honor and a privilege to give in the kingdom of God. Amen. Actually, this is that test that you should know how much you love God and how much you understand the love of God and the grace of God. Should I tell you? The Lord taught me this in the pandemic. The Lord asked me. He told me, praying in tongues, now studying, praying in the Spirit. In that moment when I stopped studying, I was just praying. The Lord spoke to me and said, son, when you learn principles of faith through my servant Arnoldo, did you stay in this? Did you stay in preaching with me out of convenience or out of love? So I was praying in tongues very slowly from the voice of the Lord, and I stopped praying, opened my eyes. I smiled. I said, Lord, I'm going to tell you as the prophet said, whom you asked, if those bones would live. That's in Ezekiel, right? I said, I told you as you told the prophet in Ezekiel. I said, only you, Jehovah, knows. And I smiled. And right there, I understood that those years ago was more so convenience. More than love, it was convenience because I started seeing healing in my body. Started having a stable job. I started to prosper financially. But I told them, but now, you know that it's because I love you. Amen. And that is that test. In other words, ask yourself this, because from there the Lord asked me, if it weren't benefit, if I wouldn't have left written in my word, as Paul said, the reason of sowing and reaping, if I wouldn't have left written, sowing and reaping, if I wouldn't have left written that there are benefits in sowing in the kingdom of God, would you continue giving? And I answered, yes. Just knowing that other people in other parts of the world are coming to the Lord. And I still can't fully understand and I don't need to. But some reports that have been given to me by multimedia, because the team that we have back there, not referring to the team of the equipment, but more so the equipment, you know, we can see where they were being watched. You know where they watch us a lot of? They watch us more in India. And the sessions that they seek the most in English and in Spanish, now this is in different parts of the world, is what is the new birth? Even people here who watch us on television in Sonora and these parts here in Tucson, Phoenix, closer to us, and another city in Florida. And go to mpfccc.org and you can see all the cities in which we're having our outreach from. Here, us here, this church. We're not a mega church here. But just believe in God. Amen. Just by knowing that that people will come to the Lord. Just because God told me in His word and spoke of giving, I'd give. Even if there was no benefit. But praise the Lord that there is benefits. And call and proclaim. Don't pay attention to the world who criticize you. As I said, the world will criticize you because we speak on money. But they have 4 or 5 jobs. I told one here in Douglas, well, if money is so evil, go to the bank, grab everything that you have and give it in the kingdom of God. But they can speak of money, but we can't. What does this world think they are? If the Lord is the owner of all silver and gold. The reason of giving. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid and once again for my necessities. These were great partners. We need more partners like the ones in Philippians. I call them, I proclaim them in the name of Jesus. Verse 17. Not that I seek gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full. I have received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Have you read the last verse of Acts? The last verse, the last chapter, where it says that Paul spoke the word in a rented home. How do you think he would pay the rent if he was a prisoner? A prisoner couldn't work. It was these people who supplied, who could continue preaching. Sexy multimedia, but they didn't know. Acts 28:30. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented home. Read the whole story here. He was in prison, in house arrest, his own rented house, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God. Notice this, a rented house. Who would pay the rent? The Philippians, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, Paul should work. How could he work? He was in house arrest. And receiving all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. Stand on your feet. Glory to God. The word is so good. My pastor would say, who is in heaven, Arnoldo Gutierrez, who are you? Of those who maintain or who are maintained? That guy would say things. Forget about another pastor who I know. Who told the associate pastor. No, the associate pastor told the pastor who invited me. No, that brother Hughes, when he preaches, he's like a twister. A twister, please. If you would have known my pastor. I'm a little dust devil compared to the hurricane that he was.
You know what this cup says? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And I added coffee to what I drink. Even more joyous. God is good. Forever is His mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you thanks with the privilege to give in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. We don't
obligate anyone to give. No one needs to feel obligated to do anything. But the love of the Lord and the Word, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Because we give with joy, not forced. You don't make us, so nobody here makes us do it. If we give, it's because we want. And those of us who want, like those Philippians, we call a harvest. Because you said in Genesis that every seed produces according its genre. And you said it here in Corinthians, and you called money seed. So money is seed. It's a seed that produces, just like you said in Genesis. And just how the Lord Jesus said that when a man sows seed and he sleeps and gets up day and night, that seed sprouts. And that same way we sow, and we don't know everything. But you are the one who brings that harvest. You are the Lord of harvest. And us here, we speak it and we give thanks. And we call our financial seed multiply. Multiply. And we receive an abundant harvest on what we sow. We speak in the name of Jesus. An abundant harvest, and we give thanks. And at home, we don't speak. We don't have it. I can't. We say, glory to God. It's a project of faith. Thank you, Lord. And you go to the Word, and you go to that promise, and you say, in abundance, thank you, Lord. Psalms 112, there are riches in my house. And you go and you search from Genesis to the Apocalypse. And you speak them. And you speak them. And you put them in your heart. And you pray in other tongues. And maybe the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Spirit told Nuvia and I, be debt free. And if you're going to spend, use the resources that you have in the kingdom. Invest in your children. That's how he told us, Novi and I. Amen. They were kids. Don't fall into that pressure because you speak faith and prosperity. Listen. And I'm not saying I've done everything perfectly. But you obligate yourself to follow the Lord and to hear from Him. And I remember one day I had money that we were going to remodel our house. And the Lord said, it's not time yet. And I said, what? And I said, Lord, look at the doors in my closet. And He said, it's not time. I want you to have the money always to say, when I tell you, give to this project, give here, send an offering this way, help this person, help this pastor, help people from church. You have that, those finances. Huh? Remember I told you we need to submit. And I said, huh? But Lord. And He said, it's not time. Wait a little. Wait. Believe me. Be joyous in me. And He reminded me what He told me in Habakkuk. The Holy Spirit guides us from the Word. And little by little, glory to God. Lord, we love You. Thank You. Thank You. And what happened, Pastor? Then, some of you have gone to my home, know where I live. What are you going to do when I tell you look, I had this house, but I tore it down and we're building something new. What are you going to do? Sometimes we want things now, quickly. But sometimes you have to sow in the kingdom and let that seed grow. I mean, the Lord loves you a lot, unconditionally. Hallelujah. You are a child of God, temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a beloved son. You are one with Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord loves you unconditionally. He loves you so much that he has a picture in his wallet of you. And every morning he sees it and gives it a kiss. And he has a poster 10 by 10. Amen. The Lord loves you a lot. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that Word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And he wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.